Good morning. And everybody watching online, glad you're with us too. I'm going to start this morning with a quote that you may have heard already if you've been at church, Revolution Church, for a couple years, because this is like one of my favorite quotes of all time. It's by a guy named Tom Landry, who unfortunately was a coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but he's got a great quote. So just, you can actually write this down in your outlines, all right? Check this out. The job of a coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to be what they've always wanted to be. Man, isn't that a good quote? Like, that is so true. I'm gonna say it again. The job of a coach is to make men do what they don't wanna do in order to be what they've always wanted to be. Just give me a nod if you agree with that statement, right? That is just what a coach is there for. I mean, a coach, it's your job. You have the authority to get these guys or girls to the point where they're experiencing pain and doing things they don't want to do. Why? So that they can win. Have you ever seen players after they win a Super Bowl? They are just like ecstatic. They're just going bonkers. They are so happy. Like some of them are like, this is what I waited for my whole life. Some of them are crying. These huge 240-pound all-muscle guys, like they're bawling their heads off because they won the Super Bowl. But what do they have to do to get to that point? They've got to go through a lot of pain to get to that point, don't they? Sometimes they get tackled and they get the snot beat out of them. Give me a yeah if you know what I'm talking about, right? They don't just show up and run a little bit. Sometimes they got to memorize plays and memorize schematics and they got to go through workouts and train. And just, do you agree that they have to go through a lot of pain to be able to win the Super Bowl? Right? The coach's job, if he's a good coach, he's going to put them through a lot of pain to make sure they're ready to be the winners that they've always wanted to be. Let's go ahead and write this down. Pain has purpose. Pain has purpose. Would you just say that with me? Pain has purpose. Now, not everyone here has kids, but for those of you who do, you're going to know this is true, and heck, even if you don't have kids, you're going to realize this is true too. Parenting is similar to being a coach. Sometimes you have to get your kids to do or receive what they don't want in order for them to become the type of kids or adults that you want them to be. All right, this is a picture of me when I was 2 years old. That was my kids doing that. If you're watching online, my kids were like, "Ah, see, Dad was cute once, all right?" So, I had curly blonde hair. But here's the deal. My mom would take me outside. We lived in Minnesota. She would go sit on the front porch. We'd sit outside in the summertime. And I would walk to the end of the driveway. Now, there was a line at the end of the driveway that I wasn't allowed to go across. So I would walk all the way to it. I would look at the line. I'd look back at my mom. My mom would say, "Jeff, don't cross that line." So what do you think I would do? I would walk across it, and I'd look back at my mom. She'd come down there, grab my hand, take me inside, give me a spank. We'd come back outside. I'd walk down to the line. I'd look at the line. I'd look back at my mom. She would say, "Jeff, don't cross that line." I would take 1 foot and put it over the line. She would come down, take me inside, give me a spanking. We'd come back outside. I'd walk down to the end of the driveway, look at the line, look back at my mom. She'd say, "Jeff, don't cross that line." I would take a toy and throw it across the line. I'm glad my parents didn't kill me, okay? I don't know how they made it out of my childhood without becoming murderers, but if you know that sometimes it's true that children need discipline, just go ahead nice and loud say, "It's true."
It's true.
It is true. Here's what we can say with Tom Landry's quote changed a little bit. It's not just coaches. It's the job of a parent is to make children do what they don't want to do, including discipline, in order to be the best they can be. Discipline is vital for children. Proverbs 13:24 says this: "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." Now, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes people use this, you spare the rod, spoil the child, as an excuse to beat children. That's not what this verse is about. You have to be careful to discipline them the right way, is what this verse says. But what also it says is that if you spare the rod, if you don't discipline your child, then you what? You hate them. A lack of discipline from parents is abuse. A lack of discipline from parents is abuse. But if you discipline them properly, they'll become amazing people. If you don't discipline them properly, they'll grow up to become selfish, greedy, terrible individuals. Do you agree with me on this? This is a picture of my son Simeon when he was about 2 years old. We had a foster daughter with us, and Simeon was at the table, so was a foster daughter, and she kept standing up in her high chair. She kept standing up. And we kept saying, you have to sit down. You're not allowed to stand in your high chair. She kept standing up. And so my wife took her and put her in timeout, came back to the table, and Simeon's eyes were this big. He's sitting there. He's like, you put her in timeout. And I said, Simeon, we had to discipline her because she did not obey. And then what do you think Simeon did? He does this. And as he's standing up, his eyes are getting bigger. His mouth's gaping. What are they going to do? And my wife goes, Simmy. And he stops, and he goes down, and as he's lowering down, he starts to smile. He wanted to know if we were going to discipline him or let him get away with it. Sometimes kids test you. Do you know that's true? Sometimes they need discipline because they will push the limits. Heck, if you've been a kid, which I think most of you have, you know this is true because you know you push the limits. You wanted to see what you could get away with. Give me just a yeah if you agree with that, me on that one. And if you had to have parents who gave you good discipline, if that was absolutely needed in your life, just give me a great big for real. Come on. If you agree, if you have to have discipline, give me a big for real. Come on.
For real.
Okay. We're all on the same page, right? Coaches have to give their players pain to make them become better. Parents have to give discipline to make their kids be what they can be. And I want to read you Hebrews chapter 12. Endure hardship, right? Pain in your life as discipline. God is treating you as sons or daughters. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Whoa, we were just shouting for real about our kids needing discipline a minute ago. We were just saying, heck yeah, coaches gotta push players. And now we're realizing this is today's sermon. God disciplines you and puts pain in your life. And you're like, oh, well, man, Pastor, you just tricked me, right? Like, you got me to agree, and I got you to agree that pain has a purpose. That sometimes your authority figures will put you in painful situations to make you become what you can become. And today's sermon is about pain. God allows you to experience pain. Why? Let's write this down. Why does God allow me to experience pain? Sometimes he is disciplining me. God is disciplining you. You're going to learn why some bad things have happened in your life today and what you can do about them. And some of you are thinking, no, I know why some bad things have happened. Some bad things have happened because I've made stupid choices, and that's true. It's not always the case that God is the cause of the bad thing in your life, but God allows these things in our life, and he uses these things in your life to discipline you. Now, listen to me. This is important because if you ignore this today, you will have pain in your life, but it will have no purpose. You will continue to go through your life. Actually, let's just write this down, okay? If I miss the point of God's discipline, I will only have pain with no purpose. I don't want you to have pain with no purpose. If you get this today, you're going to understand what God is doing in your life. Your pain will have a purpose. You'll realize the mistakes that we make when we go through pain. You'll be able to participate in what God's bringing you and what he's causing you to be. And I want you to become what God wants you to be. If you grab your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12 today. This is our main text. This is talking about God's discipline. Now, to flip there, you go to page 512. You've got Bibles in the chair in front of you. I love it when people grab the Bible and turn there themselves so you can actually see this. This is the Bible itself. I want you to get used to using it. Okay, that big three, that's the chapter. The little tiny 11 and 12, those are the verse numbers. So go to that big three, then all the way down to the 11. Now, Proverbs was mainly written by a guy named Solomon, who was one of the wisest men who'd ever lived. God gave him extraordinary wisdom. And we've been looking through chapter 3 for the last month and a half. Each couplet, like verse 1 and 2, then verse 3 and 4, we've gone through up to here. And each one of them talks about how God blesses us and how God wants peace and prosperity in our lives. And these are all amazing. Then it gets down to this one. He's like, now that I've told you all the good stuff, listen carefully. He says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Okay, I'm going to read one more time. Pay attention here. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Let me pray, and we're going to talk about this. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us to understand your words. I know that we can't get it if you don't open our hearts and our eyes. Open us up. Give me the right words to communicate this clearly and help us not to be stubborn, but accepting of who you are and what you've said here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this is us right here. We today, you, are sheet metal. And the reality is that when God designed you, you were supposed to be perfect and smooth, but something happened. We are sinners, and we've gotten all bent out of shape. Some of you have been addicted. Some of you have told lies, or you've gossiped. Some of you haven't trusted God with your money, so you're not the person God wants you to be. We are a bunch of twisted and crooked individuals. Give me yeah if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, right? This is us. We're twisted. We're crooked. We are, let me say it one more time, twisted and crooked, although that's not what the Bible says. The Bible puts it this way. We are unholy. Unholy. Holiness means set apart. You're different. It implies perfection. When God is holy, it means not only does he not have any wrinkles, but he's on a completely different table than us. We are human. We're prone to flaws. God is perfect. He's not even prone to error. He's not even likely to make a mistake. He's incapable. That is holiness. Perfection in every nook and cranny. That was a weird way to explain that. Right? Perfection in every way possible, but you and me are unholy. When God designed Adam and Eve, when God designed people, he designed them holy. But then we engaged in things we shouldn't have done. We brought sin into this world, and we screwed things up. So unholiness is being far from God and much like everybody else around you. Do you ever feel like you're just like the people around you, unholy? Well, God wants holiness from us. Now, I want you to, if you would, keep a bookmark in Proverbs 3 because we're going to go back there a bunch today. But I also would like us to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Keep a bookmark in both spots. Normally we do one verse or section. Today we're going to bounce back and forth between both of these because Hebrews chapter 12 actually quotes Proverbs chapter 3. And so we're going to read it because it explains what Proverbs chapter 3 means. And so we're going to go there. We're going to look at verses 10 to 11. But if you just take a quick peek before verses 10 to 11, you look back at verse 5, you'll see there, verse 5 and 6, it says, you know, the Lord disciplines the one he loves, right? He's quoting Proverbs chapter 3 here. This was written thousands of years later, but he quotes it and then explains it. So we're going to listen to some of his explanation. Jump down to verse 10. It says, they, and he's talking about our parents, our parents disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. But God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness, okay? God wants us to share in his holiness, all right? And he says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, that discipline produces a harvest, okay, like you're gonna get it, a harvest of righteousness and peace. Righteousness and peace is what you get for those who've been trained by it. Okay, so God wants us to share in his holiness, to be what you were created to be. The problem is, it's not easy to make that happen. God's gotta make some room, and he's gotta find you, and then he's gotta say, okay, here's the deal, people. I want you to be holy instead of all bent out of shape. So, you know, I had some gloves. I don't know where I put them. Okay, I cut my hand the first service. I'm gonna try not to cut it again, right? He said, I want you to be holy, so I'm gonna have to bend you back into shape. Now, this is not a process that sounds fun, is it? This is painful. It is not supposed to be comfortable because it is taking a person who's been bent out of shape and he's changing the course of your life. Hebrews says, no discipline is pleasant at the time. No joke. You ever been disciplined? It does not feel good. I actually, a lot of you know the story about my some of my older kids, how we were going to adopt them, and then we lost them, and how painful it was to have lost them. And for 2 years, they were gone before we adopted them. And it was like every day I wasn't with them, I couldn't even breathe. And scripture says, endure hardship as discipline. So I actually believe God was disciplining me during that time. And to be able to sing that song that we sang this morning, you know, blessed be your name, where we get to that the bridge in the song that says, you give and take away. You give and you take away. There were years where I couldn't even hardly sing that bridge because all I could think about was God had given me these kids and now he had taken them away as part of my discipline for something that I had done, and I think I know what it was. He says, but you have to listen to the rest. It says, you give and take away. You give and you take away. But my heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Right, that last part there? That's the important part, isn't it? Right? He's God. He can discipline us for our good, to make us the people he wants us to be. But in the midst of it, we have to be able to say, God, I want to bless your name, though. I want to be what you want me to be and not just be mad that you're disciplining me. Yeah. This is painful because changing from unholy to holy is very difficult. But maybe you've got this thing going on in your life. Maybe you've got some pain in your life right now and God's working on you. Maybe you need to be offering forgiveness to someone that has hurt you. Maybe you need to be moving out of your girlfriend's house who you're just sleeping with and not ever getting married to. You're just taking advantage of her. Maybe you're in a relationship you know you shouldn't be, that God's not pleased with. Maybe you haven't been giving 10 or 20% first and best to God through the church first. Maybe you're needing to quit drugs or porn or alcohol. None of this is easy stuff, is it? None of this is easy. But do you think God is going to leave you like this? God's not satisfied with this. He's not going to walk away and say, yeah, I know you're still not what you could be, but I'm done with you now. That's not what God says. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 again, verse 12. He says, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. This is why God keeps pushing in and pushing in, even though it's painful for us. He loves us. He disciplines us. Let's go ahead and write it down. God disciplines me because he loves me. Look, I don't like disciplining my kids. Are you kidding me? It would be much easier for me to not make them load the dishwasher because they don't want to load the dishwasher and I don't want to have the fight. Parents, give me yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yes. It'd be much easier just to move on. Kids, it'd be much easier for you just to move on, not have to deal with it. But as a parent, as a good parent, I say, you know what? I'm going to push in this discipline. I'm going to have them load the dishwasher instead of playing the video game because I care about them. I will not abuse them by neglecting to discipline them. It's going to take work, and it's going to take some pain, and it's going to take some time to hammer this out. But God loves you enough to do this to you. The question is, how do you know when you're being disciplined? How do you know when you're being disciplined? Well, if you look back at Hebrews chapter 12, it tells us, look at verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. Okay, so here's the answer. Whenever you endure hardship, assume it's discipline from God. Whenever you face something painful, assume God is disciplining you. I'm not saying that every bad thing that happened to you is God's discipline. That's not what I'm saying. But what Scripture says is that we should treat it that way. Listen to the word as there. Endure hardship as discipline. Do it. When you face something hard, like, man, this is painful, don't just go, wow, I made another dumb decision. That's why it hurts so bad. No, go, God is teaching me something here, right? God, what are you trying to do in me? Maybe you're trying to teach me that credit cards aren't a good idea. Maybe you're trying to do something even more than that. Maybe you're trying to teach me patience. Maybe you're trying to teach me generosity. Maybe you're trying, God, is there a behavior that I should change right now? And that's a legitimate question when your dad puts you in time out. Is there a behavior I should change? Tell me. The problem is, when God disciplines us, we don't always like it, do we? We aren't like, oh God, thank you for this great opportunity to become the person I can become. That's not usually what we do. Usually it's something like, I can't, and we start making things worse for ourselves. Anyone ever done that? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, starts out with giving us a mistake that we make. There's actually four mistakes we make when we face painful situations, when God's disciplining us. There's actually more, but I can't fit them all in because of time today. I'm not going to keep you till 2 o'clock. So we're going to go over four big ones, right? Grab your Bible again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. This is the first one. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Will you say the word despise when I get there? My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Okay, there it is. Let's write it down. Mistake number one, when we face hardships, we despise the situation, or we do not take it as seriously as God's discipline, right? We get angry. We're like, whatever. I can't believe this happened to me again. I was at a demo derby. You know, they got these big fences that separate the cars from the audience. Well, there's this guy who climbed up the fence, and he was shaking it, and he was yelling. He's probably drunk. He was just like, ah, what's going on? And a police officer comes over and gets the guy down and has words with the guy. Well, the police officer decides to let him off and walks away, right? The officer was offering some discipline. The guy despised it, so when the officer turned around and walked away, the guy flipped the officer off. And then he looked at the audience. He's like, I flipped him off. Aren't I cool? The funny part was there was another officer behind him when he did that. So his little gesture got him arrested. But that guy was despising discipline, wasn't he? He was like, this is stupid, man. I'll show you what's up. And sometimes some of you get angry at God. You despise the pain in your life and you're not listening to what God's doing. And when God is trying to correct you, you're like, this is stupid, man. Oh, whatever. You can do that. Or you can say, does this pain have a purpose? God, what are you trying to teach me? Look at Proverbs 3:11 again. This is the second mistake we make. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. All right, say resent with me when I get there. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke. Okay, let's write it down. Mistake number two, when we are disciplined, we resent the rebuke, right? In other words, we wish God wouldn't do this to us. I wish I wasn't in this circumstance. Actually, this comes from a Hebrew word, which means to be disgusted. You're weary of it. Imagine I wake up every morning at 6 o'clock. I get up. I make scrambled eggs with a dab of ketchup and two red apple slices. Okay, every morning I get up, make scrambled eggs with a dab of ketchup and two red apple slices. And then I wake my kids up and I feed them scrambled eggs with a dab of ketchup and two red apple slices every morning. And every morning for 2 years, they get nothing but scrambled eggs, a dab of ketchup, and two red apple slices. Eventually, after a couple years of this, they're going to get scrambled eggs, dab of ketchup, and two red apple slices. And they're going to say, enough! I am sick of scrambled eggs, a dab of ketchup, and two red apple slices. And they're going to grow up hating this. They're going to be weary of it. When they grow up, they're going to go on a cruise someday, and they're going to wake up and go to the buffet. And at the buffet on the cruise, there's going to be scrambled eggs with some ketchup and two red apple slices, and they're going to vomit. You know what I'm talking about? That's what it is to like be weary of something. Like, I'm so sick of this. And sometimes when God disciplines you, you're just tired of it. You just don't want it anymore. You are just done. God, I've had enough. And God is saying, hey, I'm trying to have your pain have purpose, right? I have purpose for your pain here. And you're like, maybe you got purpose for my pain, God, but I don't like scrambled eggs. I've had enough. But don't do that. Don't get weary and sick of it. Say to yourself, okay, I may not like this anymore, but for some reason, my good Father in heaven thinks I need this. Lean in. Eat it. Call it good. Put a smile on your face and say, God, what are you teaching me here? I know I don't like this, but I will accept it, because if you don't accept it, then God is going to have to feed you scrambled eggs with a dab of ketchup and two red apple slices until you get it. Let's look at the third mistake. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's turn there. Verse 5. Someone texted in earlier and they were online and they said, or they'll just be used to it, the breakfast, and think that two red apple slices are a normal breakfast. So there are some weirdos who would absolutely eat the same thing every morning for like 15 years. Anyone in here like that? Okay, a couple of you? All right. So for the two of you who don't get sick of anything, when God disciplines you and you experience pain after pain after pain, continue to lean in and don't just get used to it, but say, God, what are you doing with me? Don't just get used to it. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Here's a third one. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. First of all, I think this is funny because he's about to tell you that God is going to cause pain in your life for your own good. And he starts out by saying, don't forget this word of encouragement. Like, if I'm about to hit someone with a hammer, I'm not like, this is going to really encourage you, brother. But he's got something in mind that we don't. What he has in mind is the end result. See, what happens, and this is the third mistake that we make, is a lot of times we're going through the pain, and let's write this down. When we face hardships, we just lose heart. We lose heart. That's what it said in there. Sometimes when God disciplines you, your reaction isn't, oh, wow, I'm becoming what God wants me to become. It's, I suck. I quit. I'll never be good enough. I'm going to screw it up again. I've never been good enough, and I'll never be good enough. But do not forget that God has a purpose for your pain. Your pain is not a random happenstance. It's not merely because you made another dumb choice. It's because God is writing your story and helping you become what you can become. See, what happens is we like to write our own story. And if you could have written your own story about your life, it would look a lot like this. One day, John went outside and he climbed on a log. And then God came along. And when Johnny fell off a log, God picked him up and he smiled. And God said, wow, that was awesome. You are awesome. The end. And like, you'd be like, this is my story. Like, it wasn't perfect. I fell off a log, but God took care. And you're like, this would be your story. This isn't the story that God wants to write for you. This is the story that God wants to write for you. It's big. It's a thick book with small words. There are lots of pictures, there's war stories, there's brutal battles, there's death, there's destruction, but there's also victory. God does not want you to stay content with, yeah, I lived a little, made a little mistake, God fixed a little, the end. God wants you to fix everything that goes wrong. And what happens is you get in the midst of a battle and you think you're losing and you want to quit and you lose heart and God says, don't quit now, the story's not over. I'm still writing your story. Get to the end, you win if you don't give up, right? Don't lose heart. When God disciplines you, it does not feel good, and a lot of this story doesn't feel good. But the bad part's not the ending. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you got to understand what God is trying to do in you. I think one of the reasons that we lose heart is that we forget where this all is going. Look at Hebrews 12, 7 again. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, right? He loves you. He's treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not your sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? Right? You're his child. That's the reason God does this. So he says, you know what? You're my kid. And I'm not just going to let you get away with this crud that you're pulling. Let's write this down. Another reminder, if God's disciplining me, it's because he loves me and I'm his child. Don't lose heart. Don't lose heart because God's doing this because he cares about you. This is a sign that God is involved in your life. And I'm just going to pause the sermon for a second. I want to just say something to us parents. When we discipline our kids, we have two options. Option number one is to discipline them because we love them and we want them to become the best that they can become. The second option is to discipline them because we are ticked off and we want them to feel bad about what they did. Don't parent out of number two. parent because you love them and you want them to become what they can become. That doesn't mean there's no pain involved, right? There's still gonna be pain involved in either number one or number two, but the heart behind it is way different, isn't it? And your kids can usually tell the difference. Parent because you love them and want good for them, not to make them feel ashamed of who they are. Listen, this is how God parents you and me. He loves you. He's willing to put you through the pain to help you become what you can become, but he does it because he loves you, not because he wants to punish you. Okay, end of rant. All right, here's mistake number four. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 again. Look at verses 10 and 11. They, our parents, disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. In other words, like maybe it wasn't the right choice, but they tried. But God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. Wow. Now, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, listen, it produces what? A harvest, right? You're going to get all of this. You're going to get a harvest of righteousness that's living perfectly and peace inside your life and outside for those who've been trained by it. Let's write this down. Mistake number four is focusing on the pain instead of the prize. Man, you think about those football players, their coach says to them, run a lap, take a lap. And I've watched practices, basketball, soccer, football, and never once when a coach says, take a lap, have I seen a player go, oh no, I think coach doesn't like me anymore. Why not? Because they know what coach is doing. They know he's making them run a lap so they can win the game. Sometimes I have seen them do this. Oh, for real? Oh. And it's not, they know it's going to be painful to run another lap. They don't like it, but they do it and they endure it because they know coach has what's best in mind for them. Listen, sometimes when you're going through pain in your life, you're like, oh, this pain is so bad, but you need to stop focusing on the pain and start remembering the prize. God is making you a righteous, holy person. He's changing you and getting you to become what he wants you. Yeah, yeah. God bringing you into holiness and perfection is not easy. But when God does this, it produces peace in your life. When I raised that hammer, there was like eight people who went, by the way, this is kind of what it feels like when God starts to discipline us. Like we have these natural reactions, right? Like, oh no, it's coming again. Like, instead of freaking out, let's remember what God's doing. He's making us become the people we can become. What was Tom Landry's quote? The job of a coach is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to be what they've always wanted to be. Let's flip it around and say it as though God was saying it. The job of a loving God is to make men do what they don't want to do in order to help them become what they've always wanted to be and what God created them to be. No, it's not always fun. But remember, the point is not punishment, it's discipline. Punishment is when you give someone what they deserve and your anger comes out. Discipline is when you train them, right? God doesn't want to punish you. In fact, that's why Jesus came to earth, to take your punishment away. God punished Jesus for every bad thing I've done, which is a lot. And God punished Jesus for every bad thing you've done, which probably isn't as much as mine. But God put all of it on top of Jesus and punished Jesus so that you and I wouldn't have to go to hell for the rest of eternity. He took our punishment away. If you believe in Jesus and you accept his forgiveness, you do not get punished. But you do get disciplined. You do become the person God wants you to become through a process that is sometimes painful. So here's our response. Here's what we do. Proverbs 12:1. Actually, you know what? Let's take that off the screen. Let's see who knows it. Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Good job. All right, growth group leaders, ministry leaders have to have that memorized. So this was a test. All right, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. That word stupid, actually, you can translate that from the Hebrew. It actually means a dumb, stupid brute of an animal. But some Bibles translate it that way. It actually means a dumb, stupid brute of an animal. It's kind of like when you hate being corrected, you're that donkey that they're whipping and trying to get to move, and all you do is, ha, ha, I'm not moving. That when you, I'm not doing that again, right? When God disciplines you and you don't change, that's what you are. You're screaming, but you're not moving. You're a dumb, stupid brute of an animal who doesn't accept correction. We want to be the type of people who love discipline. I know, it's painful. I want you to love something that's painful, but I want you to love it because what does it produce? It means you love knowledge. Let's go ahead and write this down. Proverbs 12:1 is saying that loving discipline is virtually the same thing as loving knowledge. When God disciplines us, and we go through really difficult stuff, and we say, yes, Lord, teach me. This doesn't feel good, but teach me. Then we're learning. We're gaining knowledge. We're gaining abilities. We're allowing ourselves to be made in the image of a holy God whose face we could never become like on our own until God shapes us and changes us, which is our ultimate goal. Listen, you're sick of your sin. I know you are. I mean, I am sick of my sin. There's sometimes I think about what I do, and I'm just like, why am I a pastor? You'll probably sometimes think to yourself, why do I even go to church? Like, what is wrong with me? Has anyone ever thought something like that? Like, really? Why do I do this? We are sick of it. So let's stop fighting what God is trying to do and accept the discipline that he puts in our life by saying, okay, God, I accept your discipline. Teach me what you want to change in me and change me. And when we do that, we get to celebrate. Just like the NFL guys celebrate the Super Bowl. Thank you. I almost said World Series. Just like they celebrate the Super Bowl. Man, we can go, yes, God has made me the person that I can become. We get to be super happy about it. Man, I got nice forearms. Right? Like, we just get to be so stoked because God's done so much good in our life. So let's take it home. Here's what we need to do. Oh, actually, you know what? There's a couple questions that I want to answer. A couple good questions here. Doesn't the Bible say that sometimes God acts out of his wrath? Yes, that's a good question. Sometimes God does act out of his wrath. But here's the deal. Before God acts out of his wrath, he always gives lots of warning and correction. Let's relate this to you being a parent. And just imagine that God does this, but in a holy, perfect way, not just a you screwed up way. Children, it's time to fill the dishwasher. Children, it's time to fill the dishwasher. Okay, this is it. You need to fill the dishwasher. Listen, you are 17 years old. It is time you fill. Okay, fine. Out! Out! Find your own home! Right, like this whole thing, right? You've just transitioned from discipline to I'm done with you. God sometimes makes that transition. Only he's very patient, and he takes him many, many years. Don't get there. It's not a good idea. Okay, let's... This person said you also need fire to go back to your original shape. Yeah, sometimes God brings us through fire, which is also painful, but I didn't want to burn the church down. All right, let's take it home. Here's what we need to do. I'll identify a hardship. That's a good background. I'll identify a hardship I'm going through and endure it as discipline from God. Okay, so I want you to think about something difficult and say to yourself, okay, I'm going to endure this, but I'm going to do it as though God is disciplining me. God, I will ask, how can I examine myself? Is there something God wants to change in me or about me? I will decide to love the process. Perhaps I'll even bring it to my growth group and ask them to help me through the discipline process and keep me accountable. I don't have time. I wish I had another 20 minutes because I wanted to share about how we do this as a community and how we go to our growth groups. And sometimes God even uses our community as part of the discipline process. But just know that we're a family as a church. And we don't ever want to just say, I'm doing this on my own. Like, let's bring each other in on it and see what God does with us together through this whole process. Let me pray, and then we'll get out of here. God, discipline is not painful, or it's not enjoyable, you know that. But we want to love it, so teach us to love it. Remind us of where you're bringing us. And help us to see and remember that you discipline us for our good. Now, God, we ask you to shape us into the people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go have purpose to your pain.